right across the world, the coronavirus, which we're all very familiar with, there are some signs some of the restrictions are easing up. We know, for instance, that today, just about an hour from now, the mayor of New York City, Mayor de Blasio, has decided to open up 7.5 miles of streets in New York City. All the traffic is banned, and the streets will be dedicated to pedestrians and to cyclists, and of course, social distancing will be in effect, so that the minimum is 6 feet apart. However, that's it. Some golf courses are opening throughout the states and in New Jersey, and then there are varying degrees of restrictions being lifted in different states throughout the United States. Does that mean we're out of the woods? No, it doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. What it actually means is those have been cooped up, cocooning in at home are getting some relief, and we do know that there will be an end to this someday, and in the meantime, you know, there is some degree of relief. Speaking of relief, and an organization, by the way, that was founded in 1988. This organization is it's the Emerald Isle Immigration Center. Offices in Woodside, Queens, and Woodlawn in the Bronx. Again, going back to 1988. The short version is that it protects the interests of primarily the Irish community and helps immigrants along the road to security and U.S. citizenship. I am delighted to welcome the Executive Director of Emerald Isle Immigration Center as we go over to the offices in Woodside or in Woodlawn. Siobhan Dennehy, you're very welcome.
Good morning, Adrian, and thank you very much. Thank you for your long-time support of many organizations in the community, but especially Emerald Isle Immigration Center. You've been there from the beginning, so thank you.
Yeah, well, okay, I acknowledge, and thank you too. A lot of people, some of us who have been established and the established community in New York, and indeed your last chairman was Brian O'Dwyer, who had to be thrown out after 30 years and told him, go find another job. There has been great and varied over the decades needs that Emerald Isle Immigration Center has had to address. Can you give us a rough idea of this overnight disaster that hit all of us and how the Emerald Isle Immigration Center moved in to the fore, especially with great restrictions on those who go to offices and everything. Anyway, Siobhan, tell us.
Sure. It's surreal a little to think back to the middle of March. We gradually closed down operating and providing in-person services in the offices the day before St. Patrick's Day. So it was March 16th, and very, very quickly, I would say, pivoted for all of our team between both offices, Woodlawn and Woodside. We would have collectively about 20 to 24 staff, full and part-time, that we literally just sent home, and they instantly, and I have to say the team are incredible, they pivoted to a work-from-home scenario. So from setting the phones up to record messages, making sure for us, our ultimate goal at the center is for individuals to attain citizenship. So keeping everybody informed as to what is going on is paramount, and we're vowing to get back to individuals within 24 hours, and the staff have taken that on brilliantly, because USCIS is ultimately operating in different circumstances as well. Their offices are closed. However, some of the benefits and applications that we would have helped different individuals apply for are still being processed. So thanks to the U.S. Postal Service, it took a little while to work through their online system, but we got the mail on hold, and ultimately we're picking it up sporadically, and in that we're getting a little bit of good news in the mix here and there. We're getting, for the most part, notifications that where things are with individual cases. Occasionally what we're getting also is requests for more information, and sometimes we're getting approvals on different kind of benefits that have been applied for. The social services team, we have five individuals dedicated to working within the community on any kind of benefit, social service. They've also pivoted to an online world, and we're really, really cognizant of and considering our most vulnerable in the community. That can be anyone who was formerly a member of our groups, individuals that we were helping also with Social Security, insurance, benefits applications. All of that work is continuing, and with the arrival of Zoom, we're all Zooming in and out of each other's lives through using this wonderful mechanism where we can actually see each other, and we're using that to outreach to our seniors, making some follow-up calls, and ensuring that everybody who needs help is getting it to the best extent that we're able to provide it. We're getting, understandably, a lot of questions about unemployment, eligibility, wait time. We're trying to track that also as we move along, because there's different responses. We know the system at the New York State Department of Labor is completely overwhelmed, and we're trying to provide assistance on that where possible as well. Our insurance team, who help with any aspect of how you are insured through this pandemic to receive medical benefits, whether you're considering going to a hospital, whether you have COVID, what your insurance will cover, if we've helped you apply on the exchange for an insurance benefit, we're there helping people through. You know, life events continue. We've had three or four families that have brought little babies into the world throughout all of this. So, again, I can't thank our team enough for making sure that all of that has been helped to the best of our ability and the services that we provide every day.
Siobhan, I want to ask you about, and this is not new to the Emerald Isle Immigration Center, unique situations here, on top of everything else and the stress and the strain of all this. There are people who have no insurance. There are people here, who are undocumented. And as, you know, since this COVID-19, the coronavirus, doesn't care about anybody or where they land. For those who might be feeling the effects of the coronavirus, instantly we think and have to pay special attention to them because they may be reluctant to go to a hospital. And in addition to having this coronavirus, they would be worried about being outed. They have no insurance. And where do they stand, and what is the level of security in terms of their status and information not being thrown out to the world at large?
Well, it's a loaded question, and certainly there are many, many individuals who are in the community in the situation that you describe, Adrian. And for the most part, living in the city of New York is something that would not preclude you from going to either a city hospital. Your status is not an issue, so you should never, never fear presenting yourself. And we had cases where people were exactly in that situation and afraid to go for any kind of help. So part of the services that we've been providing is to encourage people to engage and to follow all of the social distancing, to follow everything that the information that is coming out from New York State and New York City, to provide everybody with the social distancing recommendations is what we've been encouraging everybody to do. And very early on, we realized that one, a national level within the Irish community from all over the country, we realized through the centers that there was a need and that there would be an emerging need very, very quickly to try and work together to help individuals. And that's why the whole initiative called Sláinte 2020 was created. And it was created as a consortium of very, very concerned individuals, starting with our colleagues at the Aisling Centre, and certainly Katrina Clark and Sandra Feeney-Charles and all of the individuals that were part of the first call to try and figure out what we could do, because we knew that we had many, many vulnerable Irish individuals in exactly that position. So we banded together with help from New York Irish Centre, the GAA, the United Irish Counties, the Emerald Guild had our first call. I believe it was at the end of March into early April. And since then, Sláinte 2020 has taken on exactly the need that you described, Adrian. And collectively, we're working to try and, one, raise funds so that we can help individuals who present themselves with need. Two, we're trying to raise the money that we can help the individuals. And three, as part of the website, there is a jobs component where if you are in need of work, you're available for work, or you're aware of work, we're asking, as things gradually start to pick up in terms of what opportunities are out there, we're asking people to contact us and to share that information.
My guest, Siobhan Dennehy, who is the Executive Director of Emerald Isle Immigration Center. There is an area that generally we are not required to help. In the hospitality area, in the construction industry, all of the organizations, and you know, name any of them, have always been there with support for the Irish community. We have no shame at all in us, and happened in going to these, whether that's bar, restaurant, construction areas, and asking them to help the organizations. They have been extremely generous along the way. And that didn't start today or yesterday. It was a place to go. Now we have situations where not only are they not in a position to financially assist us, the organizations. And is there a movement? Is there something in the community that's in the pipeline to pay attention to them? Because some of them are in worse shape, than any of us. Overnight, closed down, end of story. They have tremendous, obligations, including, trying to pay their staff. Many of them, again, don't have any benefits. What about those? Is anybody paying attention to those, or is that too broad at this juncture?
Well, I can tell you from the committee's perspective, this is the beauty of harnessing all of the expertise that we have amongst the organizations working together already, that the applicants, if you check out the website, thesloanshire2020.org, that's the virtual connection to helping our community at the minute. The applications that have been coming in, I can give you, a brief recap in terms of the need that is being presented is very, very, very real. Every application is vetted by a committee. Verification is made of the details that have been presented. And in this small, short time that we've been working together, we've been able to raise, with the help of many, many wonderful donors, $120,000, of which already close to $110,000 has been dispersed to individuals. And those individuals and beneficiaries, it's about 150 total, but that represents this community, and their beneficiaries represent about 35 children in the mix that have been helped, where instances of people who have been adversely affected since early March, didn't have very high-paying jobs, didn't have a lot of, whatever the situation is, there's a vetting process. And we would love the ability to be able to do more, but to do more, we're going to have to raise some more funds. We floated a number this week, which is extremely, worrying that if we keep going at the current pace, that we're receiving 30 applications a day and vetting them and hopefully approving them, we probably need close to $1 million to keep this effort going. So that's why the appeal to the community will continue. Our efforts to fundraise, please check out the website and the wonderful work that's been done, particularly by the GAA in the past couple of weeks, the musicians that have done concerts for us. Mickey Coleman did an online concert during the week, and our numbers are that we raised $7,000 in that one event. And that's the scope and the scale of what we're dealing with collectively. So with that, we are helping every application that comes through the website. It is anonymous, there is a vetting, a very, very strong vetting process, and that needed to happen as part of us working together in the steering committee.
The vetting committee, again, it encompasses, the representatives of the New York GAA, the United Irish Counties, the Ashling Irish Community Centre, New York Irish Centre, and of course, yourselves at Emerald Isle Immigration. There's one thing that I would like to point out. Sometimes when we promote a goal. First of all, if we say we need $1 million, and that is by any stretch, that's a conservative figure. There are those who will say, well, what can I do? I wish that I had $1,000 to contribute, or $500. As we know, in the Irish community, whatever the amount of money that can be contributed by individuals, by groups, by organizations, whether it's $25 or whether it's $1,000, that money adds up, and people should not be dissuaded in hearing the figure of $1 million, which is needed, by saying, well, I'm sorry, but I don't have much to contribute to that.
Well, no amount is, you know, every single dollar raised will help go to supporting an applicant. So whether it's, you know, a couple of dollars here or there, $5 contribution, if you can do more, well and good. There's a global initiative this upcoming week of Giving Tuesday. It's May 5th. Lots of nonprofits will be out there looking for donations. If you see, and if your listeners and if anybody sees that ask, we would collectively, with all of the groups, ask you to consider donating to Sláinte 2020. And as the scale of this continues, and as individuals hopefully get back to work, one of the areas that, you know, we already see will be hardest hit is the hospitality arena, where the plans could be much further delayed, and there is no real plan in place as to how all of that industry resumes. That's what we'd like you to consider if you're making a donation.
Thank you, Siobhan. And again, I think we should bear in mind that Sláinte2020.org, not .com, Sláinte2020.org is a central point, and it represents a great number of organizations who are not new to providing support in times of need. We say thank you to you and to all the other organizations, and let's keep it up. Thank you.
Let's keep it up, and thanks to every single person who's donated so far. That's where we are today because of them.
Any amount, and I think we should emphasize that, any amount of money will be pooled and is very necessary. Siobhan Dennehy, Executive Director, Emerald Isle Immigration Center, thank you for joining us. Okay.
Fermín Amagas.
August 2.